you're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Four Square Church in Reno, Nevada.
As we go through these next two psalms, we're going to be seeing a couple of different themes that will emerge. One of them is that God is our deliverer. He is our fortress. The other one is that God is our safe place, and He surrounds us or encircles us. And one of the psalms actually says, like the mountains surround Jerusalem. If you've ever seen Jerusalem, it sits like in a little bowl. It's almost like the Truckee Meadows, except for tinier. And the psalmist writes, like the mountains surround Jerusalem, so God surrounds His people. And the imagery is he creates that virtual hedge of protection around us. And we'll be touching on that a little bit. So as a precursor, we've talked a little bit each week of this series on the difference between being a religious tourist and a person who's a pilgrim pursuing Christ. Religious tourist is somebody who would be hungry for religious experience without having the patience and time and energy to invest themselves in it. There's a guy by the name of Gore Vidal who said, it's a dangerous assumption that anything worthwhile can be acquired at once. One more time. It's a dangerous assumption, and I throw in there, especially for Christians, that anything worthwhile can be acquired at once. So have any of you ever been to Philadelphia? Yes. Did you take the Liberty Bell tour? Okay. So depending on your tour guide, you can get a really good experience or you can get the one where it's like, why did we do this? But we ended up, when we went to Philadelphia several years ago, it was for a Four Square conference. Back in the day, that's what we did our vacations when I had, it's not a vacation if you're going to work, but pastors lie to themselves a lot. And so I don't do that anymore, but that's a confession. We're in Philadelphia, and I can remember as we're going around, we get to see the Liberty Bell, and the guy's giving the story about it, and here's where the crack came from. And someone on the tour evidently had somewhere to go. And I can remember them saying, excuse me, can you just touch on the high points? I'm in a hurry. And then you've got, Ranger Steve over here is like, I have my doctorate in history, American history, this period of time. You're going to be getting, the David McCullough version now. Okay, the long. And so it was really funny to see that we wanted to be able to hear it. I didn't want to spend 3 days at the Liberty Bell, but, it was a fun experience. But for some people, I just want the high points because I want to be able to say I went to a bunch of different places. So I was doing a little research this last week. And on the History Channel website, they have a ton of little videos that you can click on and watch. And the videos are between 2 and 4 minutes each. And in doing some more research, it's like that's about the average attention span for people today. And so if they want to learn about history, they're not diving into the book. They're not reading, 1776 or John Adams or some other great book a guy like David McCullough has written. They want to go and say, just give me the short version. I just want that. And so they hear one guy talk about this, and then they're experts. They know, I heard 3 minutes on the Liberty Bell. Ask me anything. We can do the exact same thing in our relationship with God by just aiming for the high points. Just tell me what I need to know to make it through here. God doesn't just deal with us with the destination in mind. If all that mattered was getting to heaven, when we received Christ, He would kill us. Hello? There's a lot of time in between. What are we supposed to be doing between receiving Christ and dirt nap? What do we do between them? We occupy. We live. We do whatever Jesus would be doing if He was walking in our shoes. We proceed faithfully. We endure under adverse circumstances. We don't give up. We never give up. We never surrender. We stay committed in our relationship with God, and we pursue getting to know Him. And even people, we look in the New Testament. Paul the Apostle says, I don't consider myself to have already reached this, but instead I am pressing forward. I'm forgetting what lies behind. And what he's forgetting is not just the bad stuff, because we don't ever really forget that. But he's saying, all the things I've ever accomplished for God, I'm forgetting those things. And instead, I'm setting my eyes on the prize, which is to know Christ and to know Him crucified. This series is a precursor to the Christian life of saying, I want to know Christ. I want to continue to be a person who pursues Him, that for the rest of my life, I'm going to be His disciple. I'm going to be someone who is apprentice to Christ, and I spend my life spending time with him, not just to gain information about God, but to learn what it means to follow after him. I learn skills and I learn faith. And to be a pilgrim, I'm going to be a person who is always spending my life going someplace to God. And we go to God only through Jesus Christ. So with that said, that brings us to Psalm chapter 124. It says this: if God hadn't been for us, all together now, Israel, sing out. If God hadn't been for us, when everyone went against us, we would have been swallowed alive by their violent anger, swept away by the flood of rage, drowned in the torrent. We'd have lost our lives in the wild, raging water. Oh, blessed be God. He didn't go off and leave us. He didn't abandon us defenseless, helpless as a rabbit in a pack of snarling dogs. We've flown free from their fangs, free of their traps, free as a bird. Their grip is broken. We're free as a bird in flight. God's strong name is our help, the same God who made heaven and earth. This song is a testimony of God's deliverance. This is not an apologetic for most of the time God does great things. Sometimes we go through really hard things. We don't know why. And I'm not going to spend a ton of time going through the why do bad things happen to good people. Can I just say bad things happen to good people? Okay? It's true. And then we can ask, you know, why is this happening? This happens because we live in a world, tens of thousands of years of sin and junk come crashing down on us, and it touches people who have no business being touched by it. We've gotten to see over the last several weeks what Mother Nature does. I think it's crazy when something bad happens, they always call it an act of God. Really? It's an act of God. Why can't when the people show up in Houston in the aftermath, and they're helping each other, regardless of neighborhood, regardless of skin color, they're coming alongside and rescuing people. And one of my favorites is the guy on the jet ski who's going around picking up people and taking them places. How come we can't call that an act of God? Because that is. But an act of God, we want to say, well, there's destruction and this and that. The couple that introduced me to missions, a couple named Dave and Nancy Stone, they led a team to Mexico City in 1986 to see the World Cup and also to help with a church start. I didn't know what a big city was until I got to Mexico City. When we flew into Mexico City, I look as far to the left and far to the right. Literally 25 miles in each direction, that is Mexico City. Millions and millions of people there. And if when I was there in 86, the population was 25 million. There's more than that now. Over 55 to 60% of them are under the age of 12. Dude, yes, exactly. Wow. So Dave and Nancy Stone, after leaving Mexico, now are Foursquare missionaries in Puerto Rico. Perhaps you've heard of it in the news the last couple of weeks. Yes, and so over the last couple of weeks, Dave has been preparing for, they got hit by Hurricane Harvey, Irma, and then, was this one Maria? Maria, goodness gracious. What? Maria? Well, Jose? There's a bunch of people who are messing with Puerto Rico right now, okay? But he says after the island was hit, then it was hit again, then it was hit again, they're expecting to be without power there for 4 to 6 months. Yeah. And at the same time, he's not writing these notes bemoaning, you know, woe is us, why did God forget us? He says, isn't this great that we have an opportunity now in the middle of this to show that our faith is made for these times? When we go through disaster, when we go through challenge, when we go through difficulty, and everything in us wants to run away, that's when God is most easily felt by us, because we seek him with all of our heart. Our faith is made for times of chaos. Our faith is made for times when the winds are howling and stuff's falling apart. Jesus will not bail on us. He's right there, and he comes as the one who is our deliverer. So the psalmist, as he's saying this, I love the little thing here. It's like, if God hadn't been on our side, it's like, okay, everyone here, pay attention. Everyone sing this. We're all going to sing this because I'm really excited about this song. Okay? Bring everybody into it. These are not people who have lived a charmed life. These are not people who have never experienced challenge. These are people who regularly have gone through the attacks of life. They've gone through the valley of the shadow of death, and they've seen God repeatedly show up. Think about this. If God had not been for us, when everyone went against us, we would have been swallowed alive. So So apart from God's intervention, we are proverbially toast. We would have been swallowed alive. The anger and rage of the nations, it's so powerful. It's seen as like a flood coming in. And yet God came in and he rescued us. God did not leave us. He did not abandon us. And he never will. There's a story in the Bible that talks about the bad shepherds. And the bad shepherd is someone who is hired. And one of the things about sheep is they're notorious for not being the most intelligent of creatures. They like to hang out in herds, in gangs, sheep gangs. And if one heads off in a direction, a lot of them will follow. Sometimes one will just kind of get going and think it's a good idea to jump off the cliff. So the shepherd's got to be really intent, making sure the sheep don't get lost. To make it worse, sheep, I'm not a huge lamb or mutton fan, but bears are, and lions are, and wolves are. And so it was not uncommon for the flocks and the herds to actually have bears and wolves and lions come and attack to eat. You know, they could pick off the little sheep and go have lamb chops and enjoy them. And the shepherd's job when that happened was to take his slingshot, to take his staff, and to go face the lion. Now, consider that most of the time, the people who were the shepherds were the very young and the very old. They were the people who couldn't do other useful jobs. Most of the time, it was a really boring job. Sometimes, it was a really exciting job. When the excitement hit, the bad shepherds would say, I'm out of here because I see a bear, I see a lion, I don't see a tiger, but I see these wolves, I'm out. And they would run away and the flock would be ravaged. And God, through one of the prophets, says, this is not what I do. I am the good shepherd. I'm the one who comes and stands and fights for you. David, who later became king, the one who killed Goliath, long before he went up against Goliath, he was someone who, as the runt of his family, was in charge with taking care of the sheep. And while he did that, there were bears and lions that attacked. And he didn't get the memo that bears and lions are fierce. He figured, this is my job to protect the sheep. And so when the bear came running, he would run at him. And it's like, how do you fight a bear? And supposedly, one of the things that they were taught, if it was a lion, if it was a bear, you want to get up as close as you can, and you want to grab them by the beard here underneath, and you want to hit them with your staff on the snout so they run away. And I'm thinking, step one, too close to the bear, okay? Grabbing the bear, okay? I heard of a guy in Alaska who survived a bear attack by punching the bear's throat. All the way his fist went down the guy's throat. It's like, that's a pretty awesome dude. And it's like, I'd like to talk to him. Not for long, but just long enough to kind of see what goes through somebody's head. Anyway, David ran towards him. Later on, John chapter 10, Jesus identifies and says, I am the good shepherd. He's tying in with that old story from the Old Testament saying, I'm the one that God was talking about. I'm the one who will step in and who will protect. And when the attacks come, not if they come, when they come, I will not leave you. A couple of weeks ago, I got a text from my daughter. And she and Dustin are celebrating their one-year anniversary today. Woohoo! And so they're doing a spa day, I think is what it is. And so, yeah, they're probably wearing matching robes. So yeah, it'll be great. Spas. Yeah, matching shoes, just like me and you. Yeah, babe. It's great. And so I have no idea what I was going to say. Oh, yes, my daughter contacted me. And she said, Dad, can I bring a dog home? It's like, you know what? No, your mom doesn't like dogs, and we don't want to have a dog in the house. It's like, okay. So then on the off chance, I talked to Joni later. So, she heard they wanted a dog, and she says, I don't care if they have a dog. It's like, who are you? And it's like, it's an outside dog. It's a really cute husky, and it's well-trained. It you know, does all sorts of stuff. And so we'll get on a trial basis. And the dog has not barked at all. Stays outside. The only thing it does is that when it sees Dad, that's not me, it's Dustin. It's like, that's it. And just a phenomenal dog, the gentlest dog ever, unless you're a rabbit. We used to have rabbits in our backyard. And I know what happened is Thumper came in to the backyard, like on his little trail. There's actually a bunny trail in the backyard. And the puppy dog in the backyard sees the rabbit and has this moment, kind of like in the movie Up, when Doug sees the squirrel. It's like, oh, is just on it. And it's over there and destroys the rabbit. Next thing you know, it's got like there's a foot here and there's an ear over here. And they, next time the bunny comes through, that bunny gets dispatched. And I get this picture. This is an incredibly gentle dog, except when the bunny's in cat. And he likes cats too. when that happens. And it's like there's nothing that bunny's going to be able to do. If it gets in the backyard, this dog will not have to eat as much dinner because it will have this. And we get this picture. God doesn't abandon us defenseless, helpless as a rabbit with Elise and Dustin's dog. God rescues. He delivers. He protects. It's a pretty cool thing. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We seem to forget over time. I think that's one of the reasons it shows up in Scripture so many times. God says, number one, don't be afraid, because we freak out. Number two, he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. One of the worst things that can happen to a person is if they get abandoned, because it gets built into our character that we can't trust anything or anyone. I think you can't live on this planet without having experienced some form of abandonment, whether it was a parent, whether it was friend, whether it was, who knows. Jesus will never abandon us. He will never leave us. It's one of the reasons why over here we have this as a reminder in every Foursquare church. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why is something that happened 2,000 years ago relevant? Because Jesus is the same today as he was then. And the work that he commissioned his disciples to be about and to be doing, he's commissioned us to be doing the exact same thing. We have an enemy who is actively looking to steal from us, to kill us, and to destroy us. Some people believe the devil is just kind of like a figurehead of evil. He likes it when people think that. He goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And there's no one easier to devour than someone who does not believe that you actually exist. So the devil's looking to take us out. And you think, well, I'm not going to be a target of the devil. Number one, anybody human in here? Okay, most of us. Okay, cyborgs, we're having a meeting afterwards. Skynet called. If you're a human being, you are hated. Well, what did you ever do to the devil? You were made in God's image. Being made in God's image, the enemy wants to steal from you, kill you, and destroy you. He wants to strike out against that. As we take steps of obedience to God, we will see often more and more attacks in life. Now, attacks aren't like, you know, I wasn't doing my work at work and I got in trouble by my supervisor and he threatened to fire me. That's not an attack. That was, I didn't do my work. Okay, I'm feeling really persecuted. Yeah, do your work. You won't feel persecuted at all. You know, that's one of those things. As Christians, we want to be people who are known for our work ethic too and not just our spiritual language, right? Okay, that's good. Be a good employee. Be a good boss. That's a commercial. But for us to be able to recognize when we have an enemy who's looking to take us out, that God is going to walk through this time with us. It'd be easier, I think, if we could actually see where the deliverance was going to come from all the time. Here's how God's going to rescue you. But most of the time, it's like David said, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you're with me. He's there. And we get to walk through it together. When my kids were smaller, they were very, very brave kids. The one thing that they didn't like so much was the dark. And they come by that naturally. They may have inherited that from me. I'm not a fan of the dark. I sleep with a nightlight. I'm 48 years old. Okay, sue me. That bothers you. But I got to walk through very dark places with my kids. And you know how scary it is when you're the adult and you're supposed to not be afraid of the dark? And you're like showing for your kids who are going someplace. You know, one of the best inventions ever is the little flashlight on this baby to be able to, here we go. Find that light. There we go. Hey, yeah. See, it's not dark anymore. But to be able to go with my kids to the point where they learned, you know what? I can turn on the little flashlight and I can see where I'm going. Or I can know that even if I'm scared of what's in the bushes, God's in the bushes too. And he's walking through this with me. And at some point, my kids stopped calling, Dad, I need to go to the garage. Will you come make sure I'm okay? They would just go because they knew God is with me. I love the picture. One of the songs that we're going to hear from Sean and the team is called Free as a Bird. It's not because Alan last week saying he wanted Free Bird, just kind of connected. But he is going to play Free Bird at the end of service, right? Yeah, okay. He's very excited about that. The picture here is that, anybody chucker hunted before? Do you like chuckers laugh, the laugh that they give you? So there's nothing as fun in Nevada as when you kind of like, you know where the chucker are, and you're out in the wilderness of Nevada, and you walk up a hill, and it's usually like they fly about from one hill to about 3 miles to another one. You know where they go. You follow them over there, and we're getting ready to dispatch some chucker. And, you know, I'm excited because there's nothing, when they've been laughing at you for a while and your feet are hurting, you want a little revenge. And so I'm waiting, the bird's going to come up, and I'm going to, and just as we start to get close, the bird, and there's like six or seven, they fly, and they're just laughing, and they fly directly to where we just come from. And while I was frustrated, I think the chucker have to be like, you know, we get to live another day, and there's a great deal of joy. The picture here that David writes about is that there was this, we were trapped. We were in a situation where we're going to die, but then we were able to escape the fowler's trap, and now we're free as a bird. And I always think of those chucker laughing as they're flying to safety. Now, if that's a negative image for you, I'm sorry. But if you're the chucker, picture yourself as that chucker today. And where death was certain in front of you, and you were able to be set free to go and to live another day. We have been set free. And just free as a bird, where we were dead to rights, Jesus came along and brought freedom to us. So, last thing on Psalm 124. God's strong name is our help. The same God who made heaven and earth. It's a big deal, especially for the Hebrew people, the name of God. In Hebrew, the word was Hashem, means the name. They would never want to take the name in vain. But they really, all of God's character, all of his power, every attribute of his was contained in his name. And so one of the Psalms also touches on this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. God's strong name is our help. What does that mean? It means when we call upon the name of the Lord, we are calling upon someone, and it's like we're reminding him of his faithfulness and inviting him to participate in what's going on in our life, to bring rescue, to bring deliverance, and to continue what he's doing. In the New Testament, we find out that Jesus is the name above every other name. That comes from a time when, especially in first century Ephesus, Colossae, and Philippi, the people were really into power and magic and spells and charms, and they would pay big money to try and find the most powerful name in the spirit world so they can invoke this name for protection or invoke this name to attack somebody. And Paul comes across it and sees that the entire church at Ephesus is supposedly following after God, but they've got these necklaces around their neck where these little charms are written in it, and, you know, they're all, people are trying to protect them because others were always after their lucky charms and trying to get their amulets and stuff. And Paul said, this is so superstitious. We have the name that is above every other name. It's the name of Jesus Christ. And the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that he's Lord. So we call upon his name and we forget every other name that we're messing around with. When the church heard this, it says the people gathered together, and in modern money, they burned $6 million worth of lucky charms and amulets and spells because they put their trust in something else, put their hope in something else. They were, I'll follow Jesus. I'm hedging my bets here. God's strong name is our point of help. Then, today, tomorrow. Psalm 125. Those who trust in God are like Zion Mountain. Nothing can move it, a rock-solid mountain you can always depend on. Mountains encircle Jerusalem, and God encircles his people, always has and always will. The fist of the wicked will never violate what is due the righteous, provoking wrongful violence. Be good to your good people, God, to those whose hearts are right. God will round up the backsliders, corral them with the incorrigibles. Peace over Israel. Like the mountains surround Jerusalem, God surrounds his people. We can put our trust and our hope in him. One of the things that I appreciate the most is when people give words of encouragement. I'm not fishing for words of encouragement. It was my birthday last week. No, but I love words of encouragement. The thing I like to hear from people is, you're the same guy. You know, it's been X amount of time. You're the same person. You've grown more in Jesus. I can see it. And that's not a testimony to me and my iron constitution and a will that's so set that it can, won't ever swerve. What you're seeing is the work of Jesus in my life. That's why I like to hear it. It's like, oh, yeah. That's awesome when you can see Christ-likeness in people. And I love to hear that. I love to hear the people being able to see Jesus in and through me. Because I love to be able to tell other people when I say, you know what, I see Jesus in you. I see, as you're living for him, I can see where this is being worked out in your life. There is something really incredible about knowing we can go to someone. Even if you have somebody in your life who they're your go-to. You may not talk to them for years, but you've got somebody I can go to, and I know they're going to give good input. They're going to listen well. It's like, we've got that person. Jesus is that to us. He's the one who will never fail. And the rehearsing here is the trust and the hope and the dependability. Just like the mountains could not be moved, Jesus will not be moved. Sean and team, I want to invite you guys to come on up. One of the things that one of my mentors, a guy named Jerry Cook, really wove into the fabric of who I am as a person is God is good all the time. And we can bank on the predictable goodness of God. There is never a time we will go to God and he will not respond to us in goodness, ever. Anybody besides me, you have bad days? You want to make sure they had their coffee before you talk to them? God never has a day where we have to really be careful before we go to him. He's always good. We rehearse these songs. We sing these. We remember. Because everything in us, when we go through trial and trouble and difficulty, tells us to run. And that's okay if we run, as long as we're running to him. He's our deliverer. He's our safe place. He's our solid rock. His name is our point of help.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us at web@hillside4.org.